Chapter 12, Conclusion. This book began with a question. How do we create a prosperous, stable civilization without destroying the planet and without relying on infinite debt? It is a question that has become more urgent with each passing year. The question has two parts. First, how do we create a civilization that is prosperous and stable over time? Second, how do we create that prosperity without destroying the planet or relying on perpetual debt-fueled growth? The two are connected. Much of the prosperity we have achieved has been built on debt, resource consumption, and the assumption that the economy can continue growing indefinitely. That assumption is becoming increasingly difficult to sustain. The financial system demands growth. The planet has limits. Fixed claims on an uncertain future create vulnerability. That is the central challenge this book has addressed. One book cannot completely answer such a question. But it can identify the problem, propose an alternative, and provide a path forward. The rest is up to us. The problem in brief. The problem in a nutshell is simple. We built a financial system that assumes unlimited growth on a planet with limits. The financial system is built around compound interest. Debt claims accumulate over time, while the economy and its resource base cannot expand indefinitely. The planet is finite. Resources are finite. Ecological systems are finite. The growth that has supported the debt system cannot continue forever at the same rate. We have attempted to manage this contradiction through monetary policy, financial repression, and increasing debt. But the underlying tension remains. The problem is not that debt is inherently bad. Debt can finance productive investment and create enormous value. The problem is the structure of debt, fixed claims on an uncertain future. We have been borrowing against a future that may not arrive. The solution in brief. The solution proposed in this book is to replace the mechanism of compound growth with a mechanism of productive prosperity. The productivity economy rewards productivity rather than simply expansion. It shares the gains of productivity broadly and operates within the physical limits of the planet. It rests on two central pillars. The productivity bond is a sovereign debt instrument whose return is linked to productivity. Rather than requiring the government to make fixed economic claims regardless of conditions, it allows financing costs to move with the productive performance of the economy. The productivity dividend distributes a portion of productivity gains to citizens. It ensures that the benefits of technological and economic progress are broadly shared and provides income that is not entirely dependent on employment. Together, these mechanisms aim to create a financial system that is more stable, sustainable, and equitable. The productivity economy is not about doing less. It is about doing better, improving efficiency, encouraging innovation, sharing gains, and aligning financial incentives with the economy we actually want. The evidence. The simulation results provide encouraging evidence, while also revealing important limitations. The productivity bond can lower government financing costs by about 3% in the model's realistic dynamic setting. On the scale of sovereign debt, even a small percentage difference can represent substantial savings. However, the results also reveal an important problem. Variable coupons can create a feedback loop in which higher payments during good years increase borrowing, enlarge the debt stock, and raise future debt service costs. Without an appropriate principal adjustment mechanism, the bond can therefore increase fiscal distress despite its countercyclical design. This does not invalidate the concept. It identifies a design problem that must be solved. The hybrid bond, which combines productivity growth with revenue growth, performs better in the simulation. 11.8% lower cost, 25.9% lower distress probability, and 13.9% better welfare. The portfolio analysis indicates an optimal allocation of approximately 30% productivity bonds and 70% conventional debt, reducing fiscal distress probability by 34% while lowering expected costs. The simulations also identify a critical variable, the government's ability to capture productivity gains. When the government captures more than 30% of AI-driven productivity gains, the bond substantially outperforms. Below 15%, its advantage becomes much smaller. These results are not proof that the system will work exactly as modeled in the real world. They are evidence that the mechanism is worth testing, and that its weaknesses can be identified before large-scale implementation. That distinction matters. The purpose of the model is not to predict the future with certainty. It is to test whether a different financial architecture can plausibly work under realistic conditions. The implications. The implications extend beyond the bond itself. For the financial system, the productivity bond introduces a form of state-contingent sovereign financing. It allows debt service to respond to economic performance and creates a closer connection between financial claims and productive capacity. For the economy, the productivity economy rewards efficiency, innovation, and productive investment rather than treating aggregate expansion as the only measure of progress. For society, the productivity dividend provides a mechanism for sharing productivity gains broadly. It can supplement employment income, reduce inequality, and help maintain demand as technology changes the labor market. For the planet, an economy that can improve without requiring perpetual increases in physical consumption is better aligned with a finite resource base. The objective is therefore not simply to avoid financial crisis. It is to build a system in which finance, economic incentives, society, and environmental limits are pulling in the same direction. The path forward. The path forward is the roadmap outlined throughout this book. Step 1, statistical reform. Define, implement, and independently audit the NPI. Step 2, the pilot. Design, issue, and monitor a small productivity bond to test the mechanism. Step 3, the expansion. Increase issuance, extend maturities, expand the investor base, and develop a secondary market. Step 4, the integration. Optimize the debt portfolio, refine the instrument, expand internationally, and begin building the new social contract around shared productivity gains. Step 5, the transformation. Scale the system where the evidence supports it, strengthen the institutional framework, and develop the broader architecture of the productivity economy. This path is ambitious, but it does not require an overnight revolution. It allows conventional debt and productivity bonds to coexist while the new instrument proves itself. It also requires political will, public engagement, institutional capacity, international cooperation, and continued technological progress. Most importantly, it requires experimentation. We should not replace one untested assumption with another. We should test the instrument, measure the results, identify the failures, improve the design, and scale only when the evidence supports doing so. The choice. The choice is ultimately ours. We can continue with a system in which debt accumulates according to fixed claims, growth remains the primary measure of economic success, and the benefits of technological progress become increasingly concentrated. Or we can begin building a system based on productivity, sharing, and participation. The productivity economy does not promise a world without economic problems. It offers something more realistic, a financial architecture that can adapt to changing economic conditions rather than assuming the future will always resemble the past. The choice is not between perfection and failure. It is between continuing to rely on a system whose underlying assumptions are becoming increasingly difficult to sustain, or testing a different architecture while we still have time to improve it. The infinite debt problem. The infinite debt problem is the problem of making unlimited financial promises about a finite future. It is debt that compounds regardless of whether the underlying economy can support those claims. It is a financial system that relies on perpetual growth to remain stable. But the problem is not inevitable. It is an invitation to redesign the system. The productivity economy is one response to that invitation. The productivity bond provides a new form of sovereign financing. The productivity dividend provides a mechanism for sharing the gains. The NPI provides the measurement framework that connects them. Together, they offer the possibility of a financial system better aligned with productivity, economic reality, and planetary limits. The infinite debt problem is therefore not the end of the story. It can be the beginning of a different one. The closing image. Imagine a financial system in which debt is not simply a fixed claim on an uncertain future, but a partnership with the productive capacity of the economy. Imagine an economy in which progress means becoming more efficient, capable, and prosperous, not simply consuming more. Imagine a society in which the gains from productivity are broadly shared, so that technological progress becomes a source of collective prosperity rather than simply concentrated wealth. Imagine the productivity bond becoming one part of a diversified sovereign debt system, and the productivity dividend becoming one mechanism through which citizens share in the gains of an increasingly productive economy. That future is not guaranteed. Nor is it necessary to believe that every element proposed in this book will work exactly as designed. The important point is that the system can be redesigned. We built the financial architecture we have today. We can improve it. The infinite debt problem is not an inevitability. It is an invitation to redesign the financial system for a finite planet. The choice is ours. The future is ours to build.